everybody. You're a great audience, and you really pay attention, I can see. And I really want to thank Steve for bringing Nellie and I here. We're both actually graduates of San Francisco State, and I actually was a student during the whole ethnic studies struggle. And at that time, I was like the only Asian American in the theater arts program, and it was a very isolated, lonely feeling. And then the whole strike broke, and I was there when Hayakawa pulled the plug on the speakers, the whole thing. We marched around the campus, and then by the time school started back, it was irrelevant to me. So I, at that point, I joined a rock band called Glass Mountain. What's the other alternative, right? Really drop out if you're gonna drop out. And then wound up eventually going to New York, and then got into the whole jazz thing. They're hooked up with jazz musicians, and got into activism there to kind of diversify. At that time, all of the talk show bands were Lily White. And then so we all marched was, God bless Lee Morgan. He was we had a whistle. We all had whistle, and we walked to the studio, the Dick Cavett Show. And then and when he got up, we all got up and blew the whistle. And after that, it was on the news and everything. That's how those shows got diversified. And now you have the leading band leaders that are African American. So struggle is essential to social change. Love and prayer, even the Dalai Lama says love and prayer are good, but without action. And I'm not saying violent action, but without action, things don't move. So this book, Kra, is the image here was actually taken off a poster from the XL pipeline march that we did, and we stopped at all the banks where people took, you know, divested, withdrew their accounts, and I kept that, and there's a picture of me in that march. So, and now the courts have already determined that, you know, that the Army Corps of Engineers did not have approval. They did not do the environmental impact study, and there were severe environmental issues, and we all know those pipelines leak sooner or later, but they seem to be happening sooner than later. So that was another, you know, a victory. But all these victories are like just like small victories in the long run. The importance of being part of San Francisco State University, it's a commuter school, and it was always known as the working class school, and the struggles all began at San Francisco State and at UC Berkeley. And so this is, you know, the historic place, and I'm so proud that, you know, you all are here, and I've been following the goings-ons here, and so, you know, the battle hasn't changed in all the years that Nellie and I have been here. So I thank you all for, you know, being part of that, and that the movement for social change. I'm going to start. It was the milk of sorrow that nursed the songs of childhood against the stream it flowed through no fault of the bent magnolia spreading her white handkerchiefs over the weeping streets, nor the fault of the rag picker or the fruit peddler bellowing in his magnificent tenor, Orangey, every 4:30 outside the wooden doors, nor the fault of my sisters raised like bees in a hive at the top of the stairs to be sequestered like honey. It wasn't the exhalation of wind or the fluttering breath of butterflies who set sail in the morning only to disappear by noon, nor the drifting fog or avalanching stars that exiled me to the scent of lovers and crumbling piers of beggar shadows. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Where have all the blue skies gone? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the ocean, in the seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Radiation in the ground and in the air. Animals and birds nearby are dying. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, sang Marvin Gaye. Against the frame of the sun, only to scatter like a moth shaken from the wool of sleep. It was the scent of magnolias, I tell you, wafting from the garden gate, and the footfalls of a lone robin alighting on the unraked notes of a child's song captured in a jar. It was a violin frozen in the retson of time against the tuning fork of changing seasons that broke the string. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Forgetfulness. Today it's three baskets of blackberries and grandson Tyson's gray jacket. Yesterday it was the cell phone case, the earbuds, and the blue sunglasses. Then I reached for my house keys, but I left with the nail clipper. I drove the car out of the car wash and ran over my memory. The days of minutiae are long. I would love to live in your world of gentle yoga and benign compassion. If only I could dance on the belly of a fish or balance like Durga on the head of a pin. But even the rose must be vigilant against thorns of oppression, like the looming cactus with its spikes and the box jellyfish with its sting of death. If there was no place for outrage, Durga would be a murdered ghost or a rabbi selling love to pedophiles. If there was no place for the crescendo of a bleeding oud before a firing squad, life would be strung on a noose of lies. Even an echo has no sanctuary here where the god of war is a drug trafficker. Oh, I would love to live in a world without anger or hate. But even as the nun takes off her habit, her nakedness betrays her lust. The rose must be vigilant with its thorns of resistance. The cactus must strike with its spikes, and the jellyfish eject with its sting. The days of sorrow are here, my friend, and the distance between being and non-being scarcely more than a breath. I wrote this one during that whole incident in the United Airlines where the guy was dragged off, Dr. Yeah. Dow. Yeah, well, he wound up with a hefty settlement. But I am cutting my Mileage Plus card as of today. It's a simple revolution to resist the dubious privilege of sitting in the purgatory of your coach, like a canary in a coal mine, or like Dr. Dow gone limp as a corpse dragged through the Chu Chi tunnels of Vietnam. You can scream or shout, wave your medical degrees, PhDs, or citizenship papers in their face, but nobody will come to rescue you from a shape-shifting law. Not Jesus, nor Krishna, nor Buddha, nor Muhammad, because God and money is the grand wizard. Money is the trickster in a three-piece suit who will make you his slave. No matter how much gold you desire, he will double the size that you need. I am cutting up my Mileage Plus card the day after withdrawing my funds from Wells Fargo Bank. You may think it's a little late to avenge Indian killers who wiped out the Osage for a shiny rainbow of petroleum on a rippling creek. Just the same, I'd as soon scalp the plastic head of the snake to avenge the Sioux at Standing Rock for reasons too numerous to count, from the Battle of Little Bighorn and Wounded Knee, disease and starvation left on the dirt and rocks. I am standing in the shadow of the moon with no water as the earth slips further and further into the abyss. 150 years and 8 generations of yellows migrating the lonely highway of opportunity on this godforsaken mountain to carve their identity on a face of a white ghost. Thinking to trade poverty for hope, they wound up in death and dope, crossing the ocean in search of the elixir to unlock their dreams. They jumped ship, dug the Central Pacific, dredged swampland, and scoured toilets, but no amount of incense could ward off the smell of despair. No amount of ritual could ease the memory of a Chinaman's bones tossed into a frigate shipped back home like a sack of dried fish. I am counting the miles I've racked up in silent servitude to reap your acts of random exclusion. I am discarding my mileage plus card to begin my journey anew to the chrysalis of childhood. It's a simple revolution to release the grip of your blood-stained hands from my 135-year-old ancestral neck. We are what we've become, and who can change that? The past and the future are bequeathed to us in the flesh and blood of our young. Time is the train our fathers built and the train that left them behind. No one shipped their bones or the ashes of the 50 or so Chinamen massacred at Rock Springs back to China. Their ghosts are still mining the hills. You can see them on a cold night with pickaxes in their blistered hands. No one told them there was no such thing as death. They taught us to fear our shadows, not knowing that all journeys continue without beginning or end. They taught us to survive, knowing that each moment we experience is eternal. They showed us how to fly, knowing that the center of gravity is within us, no matter where we fall. They taught us to wait and listen, knowing when our hour has arrived. If the canary doesn't sing, no. That it is you who is lost. This is a Soldier of Fortune for Black Lives Shattered by Police Violence. Don't apologize for what you've done. It was the officer's gun that sealed your fate and the cunning wind that hollowed your breath into depths of blackness. Down. Down you dove into the vortex of melting days, laughing, sighing, as you concocted the childish logic of love to conquer the madness and fear and whatever wounds, regrets, and misfortunes that awaited your youth. Don't regret what might have been but was not. It is the shape of the moon that dictates the tides. It is the gulf that lies between heaven and earth, forever shimmering, haunting, distant, and lonely, the passage. Don't apologize for dying. Survival is only a bullet between freedom and exile. Freedom is only a leap of faith between what is and what can never be. Our lives are the dust of jealous gods. History knows nor cares nothing of your hopes or my dreams, so they are ripe for the taking. Don't interpret or repeat the words twisted by sinister tongues. Better to unlock the cage that tethers justice into rage. Two people like you and I can never be equal to the task of liberation if we cannot lift the heavy burden of our shadows from our hearts or remove the blindfold of acquiescence from our eyes. Confession. I'm drawn to the faces of suicide bombers, the way moths are drawn to the flame, the way yogis are drawn to caves. Something about the brutal honesty that knows no bounds, no lies, no compromise. An intruder, I search for lurking detonators, rigid shapes where definitions elude, where paper bags shapeshift into bombs. The terror of not knowing what distance to cross or how far one can fall with no God catching happens in a split second. Suppose you're stuck in a crammed bus at rush hour with faces staring up at you from newsprint headlines, movie stars, murder victims, a column of obits, and there's your own. This country, this is a century of rage. This country makes you angry. Half our forests, rivers, and mountains are gone. This country makes you mean. The howling wolves and poppies mourn. This country dishonored your life and deified your death in flag-draped eulogies and baseball memorabilia. Of 25 comrades, 22 are gone. Of the three, none revel in the glory of our borders or battle hymns or boundaries and pipelines that they fought to defend. This country impales the flesh of migrants and immigrants on burning desert crosses, scaling over a looming wall where the sun and the moon of almost a year have crossed without a light to enter. These streets bury its shame and hoards its wealth over homeless tents at freeway underpasses and paycheck to paycheck debtors in search of the American dream. This country makes you forget its repressed memories and counterfeit histories that rise like twin towers evaporating over the specter of human shadows. This is my country. This is my mouth screaming across the divide of asparagus fields and highways, sucking grapes from virgin vines and brown hands. This is my face, a burning hole howling back at you from the fig of one tree left in an orchard of dreams. This is my body surrendering to the hail of bullets and stones. Every death, they say, is the first death. Beneath each stone and milagro, a fleeting hope, an arrival 3,000 years old. To go away is to come back to oneself, to return to the suckling dawn of grass and butterflies. The weight of our bones are carried by the winds. The weight of the water is contained in the first drought. Peace is just an idea. An exile's image of God. What is love to the soldier at his moment of death? What is love to a child without bread or books? I wish I could bring you purple violets to commemorate the death of hatred, but alas, I am no match for this wall, this barbed wire, and I am 20 years older than hope. This is my war, and it is your war. I will die an American like you. This is my country, weeping across the divide of blood and sky for you. This is a ghost dance for those poor young people that died in that Oakland ghost ship fire. Wovoka had a vision as the sun disappeared from the sky. He saw the return of the white buffalo. This withering land cannot be my land. This sacred mountain, bone dry, cannot be my mountain. This water, poison, cannot be my water. He prophesied that all the gathered tribes would banish evil from the world. please grant the world the fleeting gaze of impermanence. How soon we forget the faces shining after darkness falls and casts its shadow on the past as hot tears sear our lips and destroys our bones from the four corners to the beyond. The white dreamer, too, he had a vision, and it was a fantasy, the levitating, fleeting hunger and swagger of rebels, mavericks in their retrofit circus attic of carnival mirrors and techno beat junkyard antique labyrinth of knick-knack schlock exotica in the Pied Piper's stairway to heaven that exploded in the teeth of engulfing flames brandished like blades of hot methane and cadmium in the phosphorus blaze of blinding smoke, panic, and suffocation. They were one. On the other side of the clock, picking up the steps from 100 years before. Children at the wrong time, in the wrong place, abandoned on a ship, and with their limbs still moving, their hips still writhing, eyes vacant, moaning as the ashes gathered in the stillness, unseen, driven by some nameless hunger. Last week I went down to Stanford where there was a very small but very excellent and poignant exhibit about the, August 9th and 6th was the bombing, the commemoration of the bombing, the atomic bomb dropping of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so this woman, Hiroku, she curated this exhibit, and she had all this from the past to the present, including a lot of the anime, or what do you call it, the animation, at that, like with the atomic cat and all of that, and how that still is in the minds of the Japanese, and they turned them into cartoons, and there were two hibakusha survivors that talked about wandering around looking. One was looking for her sister and for a couple of days and found her on a pile of bodies with her arm almost severed off and burned. And the other described the black rain. And it was just very, very disturbing because, we are courting a repeat of the same thing without any comprehension and realization of what a bomb, what happens to human and sentient beings. And pika dawn is what they call the bomb. Pika is the flash, that white flash, and dawn is the explosion, the bomb. Pika dawn is how they referred to the atomic bomb. And, in one hand clap, about, 80,000 people were gone like that. And then many more, probably up to 150 or 60,000 in the days and years after from the radiation. It's just unfathomable. And they called the one that dropped in Hiroshima, Little Boy. And the one that dropped in Nagasaki was Fat Boy. I did go to Nagasaki Museum many years ago. And then my friend, I don't know what possessed her to take my picture. And my face is like, and it's a stop, I'm not a tourist. So this is Pika Dawn. Where has humanity gone? Underneath dark clouds, a flash of white light and a deafening sound of thunder exploding in a smoke-filled sky. Where did peace go? Does the shamisen know the difference between the song and the singer? Does the dreamer know the difference between sleep and death? One breath is all the time it takes for 140,000 dreamers to disappear. Be like the butterfly born to die, unattached to its fleeting life. Transcend suffering and time. Be like the memory of fingers gliding over shamisen strings or the muted cry of a shakuhachi mourning the death of a loved one. Search along the deserted roads of upturned carts and smoldering flesh for a sister, a mother, a tiny spark of life. Where did peace go? Peace comes from inner peace, says the Buddha. The art of cleansing the soul is like a chess game, I'm told. One black stone for each negative action, one white stone for each positive one. How many black stones will it take for humanity to cover the sun? How many white stones to reach the moon? Revolution is a process. It's impossible to know the exact moment when milk turns to curd or when a pupa becomes a butterfly. Life and death are of one cloth. One breath is all it takes for a monument that exults in the glory of its infamy and bloodshed to be destroyed. Pikadon, children of the mushroom. Hibakusha, orphans of the bomb. A flash of blinding white light in blue sky. Black rain falling like petals in eternal darkness. One breath is all it took for little boy to eclipse the sun. One breath is all it takes for a butterfly to be free. I wrote this in the day of the eclipse. Yeah, so I think I'm just about done, and let's read one more, and then we can. Time flies when you're having fun. Okay, this is a song for Milarepa. Milarepa was the legendary Tibetan Buddhist yogi who meditated in the mountains till he turned green from eating too much nettle. He meditated in mountain caves for many years, and then he reached enlightenment. And so he's held up as a living Buddha, and every Tibetan yogi tries to become a Milarepa. History is a widow in search of her shadow. Last night the moon shone over old Jerusalem. It was the same moon who had spied the San Francisco Bay. She gazed sadly at me with the lamp of her eye blazing in my mind. The next lifetime is longer, more desolate a road than this lifetime. So you will need a horse to travel along it easily. Just then a plastic bottle bobbed under the pier, and I shuddered in the bone-chilling wind of January. History is the garbage of the world, and life the suffering of loss. The fog slips a murky glove over the Golden Gate. I reflect on the thousand songs of Milarepa, a cave yogi who turned green from subsisting on nettles and renouncing the world. Last night the moon shone over the Temple Mount, but was it the same moon that had shone on Al-Aqsa, or that moon who had wept at the checkpoint where a boy had lain in the red pool of his unspent manhood? I cock my head to glimpse a shooting star, light years from sorrow. This way. Gaza! Gaza! Mother's cries pierce the sky, wrapped in the blood of children barely plucked from their wombs. Gaza! Gaza! What will it take to restore the olives to their branches or the cooing doves to their minarets? The distance between Gaza and Jerusalem is death. Laughter and tears are the food of survival in the absence of bread and water. Just want to, and then, life, you don't have to die before you live. Life, Tell it like it is, you don't have to die before you live. Sly and the Family Stone. That was Nellie. My era was the Motown. Had to start and end with Motown, right? And I want to thank Steve, San Francisco Poetry Center, for the privilege of presenting to you. And it is especially my pleasure to read with my sister Nellie. We have so much in common, from the ironing. I grew up ironing blouses in my mother's parents' sweatshop. And we both speak the same Sayup dialect, and we both, struggled working class immigrant backgrounds to become poets. I mean, I was a closet poet for most of my life when my parents said, "Now, what are you doing?" I'd say, "Oh, I'm going to be a teacher." "Oh, okay, that's right, teacher." So thank you all for...
Once again, let's welcome Jenny Lim and Nellie Wong. And we'll take questions from the audience. I have a first question, if everybody's...